Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm your host, Ursula Rudenberg, and I'm here together with my co-host, Kay Patak. Hello, Kay.
Hello, Ursula, and hello to you, the listener. Today's program is about beginnings and endings. School starting this coming Wednesday, August the 24th, and there's a new director of the Emergency Residence Project in Ames, so that's two beginnings. And we'll be hearing more about beginnings and endings at two schools in particular, Sawyer and Roosevelt. And we'll also be hearing from the new director of the Emergency Residence Project. And at the same time, highlighting something that the Ames community can be very proud of, the outstanding work that's being done for homelessness prevention here in our town. Thanks partly to Vic Moss, the recently retired director of the Emergency Residence Project, the ERP. But first, Ursula, you've got a weather report for us.
Well, we've had a run of very sunny days for the last few days, and it looks like it's ending temporarily. By tonight, there should be some thunderstorms as the clouds gather throughout the day. But it's short-lived. By Saturday, the sun should be starting to emerge again. And Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday should be sunny and clear skies. And the temperatures are predicted to be relatively moderate still, staying in the 80s. And by Wednesday, there should be thunderstorms again. And Thursday, again, probably rain and possibly thunderstorms. But by Friday, the sun will come back, and next weekend is planned to be sunny again. And not terribly like in the 70s. So a little bit more moderate is weather is predicted for the coming week than this week was a little bit hotter. So that's what the weather people are telling us is going to happen. And
we can use some rain, and after that it sounds very pleasant.
Yeah. So look forward to a nice weekend. By the way, I highly recommend getting a floating raft and floating around Peterson's Pit. Very, very pleasant way to spend the August summer days. So anyway, back to the community. This spring, it was announced that after 29 years of service to the community, Vic Moss would be retiring as the director of the Emergency Resident Program here in Ames. And last week, his replacement, Carrie Dunwalt, began her stint as the new director of the shelter and its related housing program for people that need housing. We'll be hearing a retrospective on Vic Moss, really a highly respected member of our community who's really had a life of service, in a future Local Talk program. But today we'll be hearing an interview with KHOI reporter Greta Anderson, who spoke with Carrie, the new director, and with Sherry Riley, the chair of the board of the Emergency Resident Program. In this interview, Carrie Dunwalt and Sherry Riley talk about their hopes for the future of the agency and also about the retirement celebration that will be held for Vic Moss. Greta began by asking Sherry what qualifies somebody to have this job and what qualities they look for and what stood out to them when they were searching and chose Carrie to be the new director.
I think it was pretty clear that Carrie had a heart for people who are homeless and that she was really experienced in that area. She has worked with Youth and Shelter Services and then with Cedar Valley Friends of the Family as their housing director. So she had quite a bit of experience in the area of homelessness direct client services. And then also her administrative ability was what really stuck out to us. Just the fact that she'd administered grants and she'd applied for new grants and all of those kinds of things that I think the shelter board is looking forward to kind of the next generation of shelter here in Ames.
Well, I know that the shelter has to adjust to new requirements for record keeping that differ from how things have been done.
Well, actually, the shelter has already adjusted to those. We've already started implementing ServicePoint, which is the system that is currently in use, and there's now a plan in place, or there will be soon a plan in place, to switch to the VISPIDAT system, which is kind of the gold standard for the future in Iowa, so that agencies talk to one another clearly.
Now, Carrie, what interested you about this job and drew you back to Ames?
Ever since I worked in Ames, I've always loved the Ames community, and when I heard about this opportunity, I was very excited to be back in the Ames community, very excited about the prospect of developing a program and really helping it expand and continue to grow, as well as when I worked in Ames before, I worked closely with Vic and Troy and the staff at ERP, and really felt honored to be able to follow what Vic has done for the Ames community and homelessness, and really eager to keep that energy and that momentum and that passion to help end homelessness in Ames going.
So it sounds like you will be an advocate for homeless people as well as a host to them at the shelter.
Very much so. I believe that homelessness is one of the biggest issues that face our nation across the board, and I think it's one of the most overlooked issues that we face. And if someone does not have a safe and stable place to call home and a roof over their head, how can we expect them to be contributing members of society? I feel everyone deserves a safe and stable place to call home, and that's been one of my goals for the last 15 years that I've been working with homelessness, is helping make sure that that happens.
Sherry?
So you can see that that's completely consistent with what Vic Moss, you know, how he took over this place 29 years ago. His passion for people who are homeless has never wavered. And Carrie's going to keep that commitment going. And it's also, I mean, everyone on the board is actively engaged and desires that people have a permanent stable house or home to call their own.
So you have had about a week and a half on the job now.
Yes.
Tell us about that week and a half.
It's been a lot of learning, trying to figure out how things are usually done here at ERP and a lot of the policies, just getting to meet people, and a lot of learning and just note-taking at this point, trying to prioritize what we want to do first and what changes, if any, we want to make and what we're going to prioritize from there. Also been doing some grant writing to try and bring new money in to the agency, and been about it. Just really a lot of learning and trying to figure things out.
Have you had much contact with the clientele here?
Yes. Usually every morning I come in when the guys are still here finishing up breakfast, and then I'm here when with requests for rental assistance and utility assistance. So getting to know the clientele a little bit, getting to know the guys here at shelter a little bit, meeting some of the transitional housing clients and getting to know them. And
how does this differ from your other jobs or your other roles at other institutions?
It's different in regards to ERP's probably the smallest agency that I've ever worked for, I've had the most widest ability to really help people in a wider array of ways. Every other agency that I've worked for has been primarily grant funded, so we've been very limited on what we can and cannot do. Whereas with ERP, since we have so much support within the community, it really frees up the ability of how we are able to help people a little bit more. And the fact that we have so much money available in homeless prevention is such a unique thing that in Ames that I have not seen in any of the other communities that I've worked in. And it is such a blessing to be able to have that and have so many people in Ames supporting that to prevent people from being homeless. So for me, that is just really exciting and being able to see that. And that's something different that I've never seen before.
Explain a little bit what homelessness prevention is all about.
What we call homeless prevention is basically just providing someone with a little bit of assistance with rent or a little bit of assistance with utilities so that they're able to stay in their home, so that they don't get evicted, so they don't get their utilities shut off, so that they don't end up having to come to shelter because they lost their home, and having funding available to help them over that little bit of a hump when their car breaks down or because they have some medical expenses that came up and they need to figure out either pay rent or pay for their one car to be fixed, and having the ability to help families do that is just wonderful.
You just had your first board meeting with the board.
Yes.
Of ERP. What did you talk about, may I ask? Did you share some visions or just meeting and greeting?
A lot of meeting and greeting, just kind of talking about what has gone over, what has been going on this my first week and some of the grants that we've been looking at. And
we also planned for Vic's retirement celebration. We've talked about this project that we're getting ready to start with the backyard renovation, where we're hoping to put in little bike paths for the kids and some different playground equipment. We're working in conjunction with a local architect and a Des Moines class that does like planning, and one of the board members is working on all those details. So it's just so fun to see the energy that constantly surrounds this place. People really wanting to get involved and help. And that's what, you know, when Carrie was talking about the money that we can spend on homelessness prevention and the support of the Ames community, it is unique. I mean, when we can spend just, you know, $200 to $400, and that makes a difference between someone having a place to live and not having a place to live, even if we're combining it with resources from other agencies or churches, even if it's, you know, $1,000 combined, if we can put that $1,000 together and get that person or that family over that one-time hump and keep them in their home in this community, that is tremendous, because getting a new place is so difficult. So it's so much easier just to keep them where they are and help them be successful. And Carrie is now writing a grant that's hopefully going to help people who are really struggling, people who have more sort of long-term struggles, be more successful. It's the Continuum Care Grant. Mm-hmm. And you want to describe what that might help for us to do?
If we're awarded, it'd be a permanent supportive housing program where we'd be able to help people with disabilities that prevent them from being able to be self-sufficient, and provide them with the ability to obtain housing, the resources to maintain housing, and then providing one-on-one case management services to help them with whatever avenues that they need in order to be able to sustain housing, whether that be addressing physical health issues, mental health issues, getting connected with local resources, just building up a support system. Because a lot of times, especially when you're chronically homeless, you've burned all the bridges, you don't have those resources available. So helping them develop resources in their local community so that they do have people that they can turn to when their car breaks down and they need a ride, or the child's their child is sick so daycare won't take them, and finding someone that will help with just some of that stuff. And hopefully we'll get awarded that, and we'll be able to provide longer term housing supports for people that are really in need.
Well, that sounds wonderful. I'm reflecting on your comment about the $1,000, you know, that's only 10 nights in a hotel in some of these in Des Moines, for instance.
Yeah, it's $350 a week, mm-hmm, to stay in a local motel. So, I mean, it's more expensive here in Ames to stay in a local motel for a week than it is in Ankeny. And it's amazing that people do that. Housing first is kind of a mantra that I've heard starting maybe 10 or 12 years ago when I visited the National Coalition for the Homeless and the DC Central Kitchen in Washington, DC. And it makes so much sense to me, because if a person has a stable place to live, then all other problems become less. But if you don't know where you're going to stay, then you don't have time to deal with what are you going to eat, what are you going to wear, where are your kids going to be. You don't have time because you're just trying to figure out where they're going to lay their heads.
You mentioned the reception going away party for Vic Moss. Can you say a little bit more? Is this a public event that the public is invited to?
Oh, of course. Yes. On Sunday, August 28th, from 2 to 4 in the afternoon at the Depot Deli. And everyone's welcome to come. There'll be just light refreshments and some entertainment, and then the opportunity to show our appreciation to Vic and his wife Cheryl and their family, and just really show the outpouring of love to Vic that he has lavished upon this community for so many years.
Hard to say anything after that. That's pretty much the whole story. How do you feel? You mentioned about feeling honored. It's huge shoes for you to fill. How are you going to go about doing that?
I have no idea yet.
Let me say that we don't expect Carrie to fill Vic's shoes. Nobody can do that. We expect Carrie to set our own shoes out there on that road and walk a new path. And we are so excited to see where Carrie's going to take this shelter and this agency. The number of grants she's already applied for just in her first week is incredible. And if even, you know, a quarter of those come through, then the face of this agency will be even more powerful in this community. So Carrie does not have to worry about Vic's shoes. She just needs to worry about setting her own on the road.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, have you found a place to live yourself here in Ames?
No, we actually, unfortunately, will not be living here in Ames because of my boyfriend's job and school and everything like that. So we are going to be moving. It just won't be to the Ames area, but I will be closer.
So you're in transition right now.
In transition right now. I do have good friends here, though, I'm probably going to be crashing on their couches a couple nights a week.
Couch surfing.
She has a good support system. And, yeah, and Carrie spent, her time at Cedar Valley Friends of the Family, we were a little concerned about the potential commute. But then we looked at where she had been working and living, and she was already commuting quite a bit. And she had made that work for some length of time, so several years. So we're not concerned at all about her having to commute to work.
Okay, well, Carrie Dunwall, we welcome you back to Ames and look forward to seeing what you can accomplish here.
Thank you.
Thanks, Greta, for the interview.
That was the new director of the Emergency Residence Project, Carrie Dunwall, together with Sherry Riley, the director of the board of the Emergency Residence Project, speaking with KHOI reporter Greta Anderson. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, one of your hosts today on KHOI Community Radio. Program, Local Talk.
Yeah, and just a reminder that celebration for Vic Moss is August the 28th at the Depot Deli. I'm Kay Partick, Ursula's co-host. I didn't realize before hearing our interview, Ursula, that Ames was such a leader in dealing with the problem of homelessness and prevention and doing so much better than other communities.
Mm.
I didn't realize that was one of our standout things. And something else that Ames can feel proud of is its schools. And school's starting again on Wednesday, so we're especially glad to be hearing from Kathy Hansen of the Ames Community School District, who's one of our regular guests on Local Talk. Kathy and her young guests from Soy Elementary will tell us all about their plans to welcome back the staff of the school district for the beginning of the school year. That'll be coming up in about 10 minutes. But first, we're happy to welcome another regular guest, Alex Fahar, of the Ames Historical Society. Welcome, Alex.
Yeah, thank you for having me today.
And you're going to tell us something about a very special school and its history, and also about your big dinner coming up at the Historical Society.
Yeah, we are. We're having a great little benefit dinner here next Saturday on August 27th, and our theme is school days. So we're going to talk about, we're going to do the debut of a documentary that was done in-house by the Ames Historical Society by myself and Teresa Beer Larson. So we interviewed some people who were involved with that project, and it's going to be the debut of this about 30-minute documentary. So if you're interested in seeing that, we can tell you in a little bit how to get some tickets for that.
Can you tell us just a little bit about the documentary?
Yeah, it focuses on the transition from Roosevelt from classrooms to condos. It's actually the title of that. So we go from kind of talking a little bit about how the school came about to being, and it's a little bit of its history, and then the large battle that it went through to actually save the building, which we're going to talk about here. So, like, Roosevelt School had opened in 1922, the schools were starting to get really crowded, and they were building a lot more homes north of the railroad tracks. So the school district decided to buy some land between 9th and 10th Street west of Grand Avenue for this expanding school system. And by May 1923, they ended up hiring R.C. Elvin contractor. And by January of 1924, the board had selected the name Roosevelt after Theodore Roosevelt, the president.
Yeah.
Yep, in 1923. Hadn't quite had FDR yet at that point. But so Roosevelt, it's architect Alan Kimball. He included lots of great details in this building. And that's one of the reasons that it was so important to save this. You know, it's special brick patterns, large windows, tall ceilings, and very rich woodwork throughout the entire building. And so it opened its doors in the fall of 1924 to two classes each of kindergarten through sixth grade. So it was quite a big little school then. And it would go through some other big renovations in the 1968 to 69 school year, where they added a huge section onto the back of the building with new instructional materials center, multi-purpose room, a band room, nurses' space, conference rooms, and some other office spaces were added. But after the 2004-2005 school year, Roosevelt closed its doors after 81 years of serving the community in grade schools in Ames. Many community, I'm sure a lot of people remember this happening. A lot of community members fought the closure and tried to look at alternative uses for the building, such as a charter school, but ultimately they failed. And in 2010, it was placed on the National Register of Historic Places because of its architecture and significance to the community. So that really helped kind of start the little bit of saving of Roosevelt, getting
right,
that done.
Right, the building anyway.
Yes, yeah, the building at least.
Yeah, I remember that time. It was, people were getting very heated about
yes,
that.
Yes, and there was a lot of, there wasn't just two sides to this whole thing. There were a lot of people coming from different angles on what they thought the building should be used for, you know, whether it still be a school or other ideas to help support the community. So, but even though the school was closed, the neighborhood was still using the area as a park, held summer concerts on Sundays for, you know, another 10 years almost yet. But by 2012, the school board began to discuss selling the property, and the local conversation really went from reopening it as a school to just saving the building and saving the park.
Yeah, but another complication at that point, people were scared if the use of the building changed, they wouldn't have the park anymore.
Yes, definitely.
And the summer concerts and so on. So that was another complication.
Yeah, yeah. It was very nice. The summer concerts, I'm not sure what year they started doing that. I think it was few years after.
It was 2002.
Okay.
This
so they,
is the 14th year.
So they started it just a few years before it closed.
Yeah.
So it's been going on for quite a while. By 2013, Dean Jensen, local developer, stepped up and put an offer on the building. He was eventually rejected as seeing it too low. So the property went to auction, and he actually got it for even cheaper at the auction. But Jensen had previously restored in 1923 the Milford Township Consolidated School building out on Dayton Avenue in East 23 near that area. And so he really he's a sculptor by trade. That's what he first started in. And so you can just tell he's very, very interested in the details and keeping that kind of stuff and integrating the details while still being able to have a modernized building with, you know, enough bathrooms and things like that.
I remember while they were renovating the building, they came in here to Local Talk once, and he was describing how a lot of the kind of distinctive details about the building were taken out of the building and preserved while they did the renovation, so that they could, you know, preserve those things and bring them back in to the building afterwards.
Yeah, a lot of the woodwork, trim, chalkboards, that kind of stuff, that was all taken out right away while they were, you know, because they had to demo a whole bunch of walls in those buildings to make room for those condos. So they were able to take a lot of that out, refinish it, repurpose it, and then bring it back in on the final product.
Did they find a use for the chalkboards?
Yes, they did. They end up using them as trim and stuff in a couple different ways. They've used some of that stuff because a lot of the condos were done. They all have like a feature wall in them, so they all have something done a little bit differently depending on what the person that purchased the property wanted to do.
Oh.
So they're all kind of used in a little different way there.
And when you go down the hallways in the building, it still kind of looks like a school.
Oh, yeah, it still does. They still have one of those little porcelain water fountains
that they used to have back in the 50s.
Oh, yeah. It looks a lot, still going through the hallways, it looks a lot like it did back then, which is great.
Well, you know, I was thinking about the school and the preservation of the building, and, the way the building looks, it's like a look that a lot of Midwestern schools of that era had, these kind of brick buildings that kind of look like a square block.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And it's really a distinctive look that developed in the Midwest during a certain era.
Mm-hmm.
And
very solid look to it.
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
I remember Welch Junior High School, which you probably don't.
No, I wasn't here in town by that point.
It was also, I mean, it wasn't as beautiful as Roosevelt, but it was also kind of a similar type of, look to it. And I'm curious. Do you know anything about the history of that architecture, like how they, Were there particular architects that brought that in, or what is that referring to?
I can only think of a specific example of that. And if you look at the Roosevelt School and compare it to the DOT building, the original 1923 DOT building at Grand, they look almost identically similar, and they were done by the same architect, if I mm-hmm. remember right. But I don't know about throughout the Midwest about that for sure. I know.
Was the architect local, or was it?
I believe Alan Kimball. Yeah, I think he worked for Iowa State. If I remember right, I have to double check on that. But I know at that point, a lot of schools like the 1923 Milford Township School, that during the 20s was a big period when a lot of the rural schools were starting to consolidate. So you're getting rid of a lot of the one room, two room wood schools, and you're getting those big brick structures that we see out in the country now. But I don't know about in town for sure.
Right. And then with the reduction in family farming, you see now these large brick buildings becoming extinct as well as they slowly collapse or are abandoned.
Yeah, and if you're lucky, someone buys it and turns it into a house.
Right, yeah. That's
right, we have one east of town here.
Mm-hmm. And then North Grant Township School, right. And then, Milford that Dean had done.
And then the town west of here, my mind is blanking, they just tore down their old schoolhouse. Hmm. And the Luther School was just torn down.
Oh.
And out in Napier, there's still an old schoolhouse, which I think is being used as a warehouse by somebody.
Yeah, they used to have a high school there for many years.
Yeah, yeah. So those buildings are slowly disappearing from the landscape as well.
They are. It's and quickly, yeah. It doesn't take long for those to get decrepit and get ready to turn down.
And I'm sure they're very expensive to renovate. But the Roosevelt School is a very beautiful renovation.
Yes, it was. Yeah, it's a good example of how you can integrate historical while modernizing it, and it serves as a good reminder that reuse can be just as good as new.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to remind people, in case they didn't hear the beginning here, if you want to know all about Roosevelt, you should go to the dinner where you'll see a film from the Roosevelt, from classroom to condos.
Yes.
And this is your cue, Alex, to remind
and we're speaking with Alex Behar from the Ames History Center.
Yes, the Ames Historical Society is going to be having its annual benefit dinner. This will be at the Oakwood Community Center on August 27th, and that will be starting at 5:30. We'll have social hour, and the tickets are $60 per person, and all proceeds benefit the Ames Historical Society. So this is our annual fundraiser to help us keep fulfilling our mission every year, and part of that $60 ticket is tax deductible also. So you can come in, have some dinner, talk to some other people in town that are interested in history, and see the debut of our great documentary chronicling the saving of the Roosevelt School.
And when is it again?
That is August 27th, and if you want to place your tickets, today is actually the last day to order tickets, so you can order those until about 5 o'clock tonight, and then we have to have the cutoff for the meal. So,
okay.
So order before today at 5 o'clock,
and you can call us before you go. we've got some guests coming from Abby Sawyer, from Sawyer School, I guess, and I guess that's named after Abby Sawyer. Quickly, do you know anything about her?
She was a longtime principal at Roosevelt, if I remember right. I think she was the first principal. And actually, Abby Sawyer and Kate Mitchell both worked at Roosevelt, interesting enough. Those two schools get named after them. But she was there a long time. I think she retired in the 50s, and she started as principal in the 1923 or 24.
Okay. And I noticed one of the bands that plays at the summer concerts is called Abby and the Sawyers.
I noticed that, too.
There is a connection because they chose that name. But the singer or one of the musicians is called Abby Sawyer.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I noticed that, and I wonder if that was there was a connection, if they all went to Sawyer Elementary or something like that.
Well, thank you very much, Alex.
Thank you so much. And if you want to, we're open, the Ames Historical Society from 1 to 5 Monday through Friday and 10 to 4 on Saturdays. And if you want to get one of those tickets today to the benefit dinner, you can call us at 232-2148. Thank you.
232-2148. 232-2148, Ames History Center.
Nice. Perfect.
Yeah, and you can also, I noticed, get the tickets for the benefit dinner online.
You can go to our website, too, ameshistory.org, and order those. And also, look, we have 7,000 pages of Ames History, so it goes on and on.
So is the movie good?
Oh, it's awesome, of course. Yeah, it's really good. We got tons of great images from people like Sue Kroll, who was really involved with the the school when it closed and trying to get it repurposed into a school again, and tons of photos from Dean Jensen during the project when it was renovated. So we're really going to, it's going to be focusing on the transformation, really, and just kind of showing it what it looked like when it closed and kind of that in-between time after about 7 years when it started to get a little bit decrepit, and then what it what they were able to turn it into in the end. So it's going to be great. Yeah. Wonderful thing to see.
Okay. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you so
good
much for having
you again.
Me.
See you next month.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. That was Alex Feher of the Ames Historical Society talking about the history of Roosevelt School and the film about it that will be shown at the annual benefit dinner, which is on Saturday, August the 27th, starting at 5:30. That's social and dinner starts at 6. That's at the Oakwood Road Community Center. You can get tickets online or by calling 232-2148. And we'll have a short music break here before we welcome some students from Sawyer School. Time to welcome three students from another school in Ames. Kathy Hansen, Director of School Community and Media Relations at the Ames Community School District, is here with three students from Sawyer Elementary. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Kathy, would you like to introduce who you brought with you?
Yes. I have with me Bibi, Maria, and Robert, and these students volunteered to welcome back our staff on Monday morning. We have a big assembly in the middle school auditorium, and all the staff has a breakfast and kind of a pep rally for employees to get us motivated and inspired for the new year. Mm-hmm. And what better way than to have students, which are the reasons we are working at the Ames schools, what better way than to have students welcome us back?
Now, I believe you've prepared something special, a spoken word performance for this event. And not to be a spoiler, but you've agreed to do it for us today, right, and for our listeners?
That's right. They figure the staff are pretty busy this morning getting their rooms ready and having meetings, so they're probably not listening. And it's a good warm-up for us, and it gets us really pumped up for Monday.
What day does school actually start?
Wednesday.
Wednesday,
the 24th.
Next week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in a few days.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But this is happening on Monday.
This is happening Monday morning. Mm-hmm. The staff come back, and we have new teachers already getting orientation and having meetings, but all the staff will be back Monday.
Mm-hmm. So Monday the staff comes back, on Wednesday the students come.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the staff have 2 days of preparation?
Right.
And what kind of things do they do as they prepare?
They get updated on new policies and procedures, things that have changed since last year. They get their rooms ready. They get, all the things that their principals and their administrators and department heads want to tell them to get ready for the new year.
Mm-hmm. Just to get a sense of what a teacher is doing, before Monday, how much time does a teacher usually spend preparing for the new year?
I don't think they really take much of a break over the summer. They they aren't on contract, but they do professional development on their own. They get continuing education. They're always looking for resources and materials, and you'll see them in and out of the buildings a lot. And they've been, especially since we have 2 buildings who moved, we had Sawyer and Fellows completing their new buildings, and so the teachers had to unpack everything and get those rooms assembled. Mm-hmm. But it's summer is really preparation time for everybody for the new year.
So they spend a lot of the summer preparing the curriculum for the year to come?
Well, it's the curriculum is they prepare that all year long, and they work in professional learning community groups to do that. They have what they understand they call essential standards that they understand the things that teachers need, that students need to learn in order to get to the next concept or the next grade level, and they make sure that they are all on the same page to teach that. But other than that, they might work on different strategies and creative ways to do that.
Mm-hmm. So this is so this Monday, when they're going to be welcomed, is kind of or on Monday?
It's Monday morning, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
This is really after a summer of really preparation.
Yes.
Moving. So they kind of deserve a welcome at that
they
point.
They deserve a welcome. Don't you think so?
Okay.
They're all nodding their heads.
Yes.
All right. So
yeah, they can't see you nodding.
I wonder if one of them would like to talk a little bit about how they came up with what they're going to share here.
Okay.
Who would like to talk? Robert, you gave the microphone to Maria or Bibi?
Just pushed it away from himself.
Okay. Maria, can you talk a little bit about why we chose these ideas?
I think we chose them because the teachers take time off of their day to work with us, and right now they're taking time of their day to unpack, to help us. They're really just trying to help us learn, and now we're going to try to say, like, thank you and stuff. We're grateful. Mm-hmm.
And could one of you tell us how you developed this little piece that you're going to use to welcome? How did you? What ideas were you going? What were you trying to express?
Can you do that, maybe? No.
Come on, Robert. You can.
So, whose idea was it, or who came up with the ideas?
I think it was our school counselor.
What did Ms. Drake do to help you brainstorm and figure out what you wanted to say? Oh, Robert wants to answer that.
She thought of some ideas. She thought of some ideas, and she told us, like, they help us, and they give us, like, supplies and lunch and stuff like that.
So during the brainstorming, she gave you paper and markers and had you flesh out your ideas and write them into words, right?
Yeah.
Was it fun doing it?
It took a lot of time, but it was fun.
Was it hard?
Not really.
So the ideas came easily?
To some people.
All right, very good. Could you tell us what grade you're in, just so we get a sense? People can't see you, so you're...
Fifth grade.
And you all, you're all in fifth grade?
She's in fourth.
For one of that's PP, is it?
BB.
BB.
This is Maria. Maria, what
Maria.
Grade are you in?
I'm going to fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And BB?
I'm going to fifth grade.
Okay. All right. So did you think it was fun doing this?
Yes.
Yeah.
BB, okay. What did you like best about it?
Well, coming into this radio, please.
Oh, that's good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, all right. You like the lunch,
so
too, Robin.
So let's see what you've got, then. What do you have?
And, BB, you're going to start, right, okay. And read the first two?
Okay, go
and
for
there's
it.
A part where we kind of chorus together, so we might it might take us a little bit to sync that up. But we'll
okay,
do it.
So let's you know
let's move
Jonna,
the
let's move the mics around and give them the mics. Partly the awkwardness you're hearing on the radio is that we're moving a lot of mics around between these people. Excuse us a minute as we yeah, change places is, here. We're
we've got
giving our stars the
here.
Center stage here. So, okay.
If someone could,
and again, we're speaking. We're speaking with a group of students who are preparing to welcome the teachers back to school. Here, sit here. Okay. You're hearing the sound of chairs moving.
Okay, everybody take a deep breath and use your power voices because you've got a powerful message to give. Phoebe, are you ready to start?
Kathy, could you first introduce again the performers?
Yes.
And they're great.
Okay, I'm just going to give their first names.
Okay.
Phoebe is going into fifth grade, Maria is going into fourth grade, and Robert is going into fifth grade. Okay, Phoebe.
We are grateful to welcome you today back to school. We know that all of you work hard to help students to never give up by putting in a lot of time and effort.
We all have the same goals.
When we think about what our best school year ever was, we realize it was when we had friends and learning was fun. People were nice and we made new friends. We know it's important to feel loved and cared for.
We all have the same goals.
What we need you to know is that feeling loved and cared for is not just for the small young ones. We learn better when we have relationships. So we know that you can work better when you have a connection between you and others that keeps you together, learning, and challenging each other.
We all have the same goals.
We can make a commitment to you to help others feel comfortable and safe, to follow directions, to encourage others, and to ask for help when we need it.
We all have the same goals.
What we need you to know is what we believe. We all have the same goals. We can help from each other, from our families, our homes, places we've been, our connections and our strengths and our cultures.
We all have the same goals.
We have each other's backs. We are one big connection, one big friendship, one big family. We work together. That's what friendships and families do.
We all have the same goal.
Everyone, let's make this a great school year, Ames.
We all have the same goal.
And they raised their fists in the air at that point.
So is there anything about what they said that struck you that you would be surprised that a student would care about?
I think the thing that really made the most impression on me on this was the feeling of unity that you're reaching for. Because you know, your chorus was always, we have the same goals. And it made me wonder, is unity something that you're worried about, that you feel has to be reinforced? Or is it something that you just think is really great and you want to celebrate it?
Both. Yes. Mm-hmm. The answer is yes. We have the benefit in our district of having a lot of different voices, a lot of cultural diversity, and we want to make sure that all of those voices get heard, because we know people learn together when their heart language is spoken, when what they have to offer is appreciated. And you'll notice here that these students they're offering something to the staff. They're making a commitment to help them learn too, and to have them notice what they bring with them into the learning process that benefits everybody.
Yeah, I wanted to ask the students, are you looking forward to starting school again?
No.
No?
I am. I'm really excited to meet the new teachers and my teacher.
Mm-hmm. You know, another thing I was thinking about when I was listening to your presentation was that this is something that really would be welcomed by any teacher, not just the teachers at your school. And I'm wondering whether since you're on the radio this morning, whether you would be willing to dedicate this performance that you did to all of the teachers in the area, not just the teachers at your school.
What do you think about that? They're nodding their heads.
Yeah.
So are you telling us that other people are listening outside of the Ames School District and it might encourage them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We reach people in many other counties, and I'm sure many of them are teachers.
Wow.
People listen online from other countries.
Wow. Did you guys know what an impact you're having this morning?
Gosh.
Kathy, do you think that the teachers really get a lot out of these presentations at the beginning of the year?
I think when students are involved, they get more out of them. Mm-hmm. When it's just the usual, somebody standing up in front of you, your eyes can kind of glaze over. But when you see a student who took the time to prepare and share their heart with you, that's gonna really make a difference mm-hmm. to start the school year.
Yeah, I'd like to ask the three of you, you sort of mentioned a little bit about this before, but out of all the students that were presented with the opportunity to do this, you three.
Four. There's another person, but she's not here.
Oh, she couldn't come today. Okay, well, four of you, but the three of you that are here today can talk about it. What exactly went through your minds when you said, yes, I want to do this? Could you say a little bit about that?
Well, about this program thing, I thought that all the kids can, like, go to school and learn more, and they get to, like, meet teachers and learn what they need to know, and also to have, like, a great school year.
Mm-hmm. Something that I thought about when they told me I could do this, I thought about my mom because she was the president of her school, and she said that she gave speeches and stuff, so this really reminded me of her.
My mom just told me that our counselor was had a group of four, so I just started thinking of ideas real quick.
You said this reminded me of your mom. Did your mom help you make the speech?
No. I think it was really mostly Mr. A, Kathy, and us. Uh-huh.
They really worked on the ideas themselves. I think Maria's mom helped her practice and feel confident, though, with mm-hmm. what we developed.
Mm-hmm. So are you guys nervous about doing this? Or are you used to making presentations?
I'm just fine with it.
I'm just really excited.
Uh-huh. Makes me feel famous.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you will be a little bit.
Yes.
Well, okay, we have just a few more minutes left. Since you are on your way to being famous, and since you are on the radio right now, what would you like to say about school that you feel would be of interest or, you know, that people should hear about how school is for you?
What do you think people need to know? Now you've got the chance.
What people need to know is that you can have a great school year, try your best in school, and try to work hard and try your best.
Something that I would like to tell everyone is that for them to have a great school year, and that we should probably be grateful for the teachers that are teaching us. Because, for example, for me, every day that I walk into the school, I know I'm feeling loved and cared for.
They took most of all my ideas.
Do you have anything to add?
Not really.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard, Robert, to be last because everyone says what you were going to say. I know that.
Kathy, how about you? What are your comments on this?
Well, I really like what they came up with. That they gave me what to say in the last segment that I read, and I had been talking to Ms. Drake about developing a culture where you feel like we all have each other's back, where it's okay to make a mistake. because you learn from your mistake, and everybody assumes the best of you, and that's when you have each other's back, and you don't talk behind each other's back, but you have each other's back. And these students came up with that phrase, and that really got me excited to think that's the point we are in our school culture, where we are looking at our challenges as opportunities, and we have each other's backs. We've accomplished so much, I think, in the last 6 years. And to know that students are thinking of these things and offering to contribute and help us learn means we are going to have a good school year.
Mm-hmm. Would any of you comment about why you chose that topic of having each other's back? Why did you choose the topic of having each other's back?
Does it have something to do with feeling loved and cared for?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you speak about that, Maria?
I think it's a part of being loved and cared for, because basically friends have each other's backs, families have each other's backs, so, and schools should also have each other's backs. Like, teachers help you to not give up and to always work hard.
Well, it's a very positive note to start a school year on, Kathy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kathy, any last words before we close the show?
Just, we want the community to be engaged and to know what we're doing in our schools. So I'll be telling you more as the months go on. We'll be here the third Friday of every month. Hopefully I'll have other students who are willing to share, and other staff too. But we really want this to be a school year that the community is engaged with.
Yeah, well, we'll certainly look forward to
that
every month. So welcoming you back. And thank you all for coming today.
You're welcome.
And we've been speaking with folks from Abby Sawyer School, who are just heading into their new year. And Kathy Hansen is also with the school district, really, and will be coming back monthly to make reports on the schools. And thank you so much for coming in and giving your presentation. We have three students here from Abby Sawyer School. And good luck with your presentation on Monday. The presentation you just heard on the radio will be presented to teachers as they return to school for the new school year, which will start on Wednesday.
Right.
And this is Local Talk.
Before you go, I want to tell you, you'll be able to listen to this yourself on the website if you can't catch it on, if you don't catch it on the radio. It will also be rebroadcast at noon and at 7, and then you can find it on the website, our website, the KHOI website.
Thank you.
So you can listen to it.
And this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm Ursula Rudenberg. I was one of your hosts today, and that was Kathy Hansen from the Ames Community School District.
Earlier we heard from Alex Fahar from the Ames Historical Society and Carrie Dunwalt, new director of the Emergency Residence Project here in Ames, and also from Sherry Riley, chair of the board of the Emergency Residence Project. Our theme music is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show. If you'd like to join our team as a reporter, contact us at 292-2878 or through our website at khoifm.org, or drop by the studio at 410 Douglas in downtown Ames, where you're always welcome. If you enjoyed this show, tell your friends and check us out on Facebook. You can listen to this show and all our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. You'll find today's show on our homepage as soon as our webmaster, Ron Carson, is able to post it. Thank you, Ron.
And KHOI is streaming live on the internet at khoifm.org, where you can also find archives of other shows. Now stay tuned for Morning Masterpieces, and please remember that you, as the listener, are the most important part of Local Talk. Your participation as audience and your generous donations help make it all possible. And we have two more days of the book sale down here, so we have a few books left, a few good books left, so come on down if you're still interested. And thank you for listening, and we will see you again on the radio.
funding for KHOI is made possible in part by the Ames Chamber of Commerce. In the heart of Ames, the Ames Main Street Farmers Market brings local food and fun. Located between the 300 and 400 blocks of Main Street, including Tom Evans Plaza, the Farmers Market provides fresh local fruits, veggies, meats, breads, handcrafted goods, live music, and family entertainment every Saturday.